We are now talking with the Evans brothers, Randy and Rick Evans. They're the owners of a local business, Evans Brothers Coffee. I guess it's called Coffee Roasters. And hi, Rick Evans.
Hello, Susie.
And Randy Evans.
Hey,
It's so nice to have you. Thanks for joining me today on Zoom. Evans Brothers is a longtime KRFY underwriter, and we like to showcase our underwriters, our business underwriters, at least once a year to say thanks and get an update on how the business is going and all of the scope of what Evans Brothers Coffee Roasters. You've had some major changes in the last couple of years, and we want to get into all that. But we're also showcasing a brothers owned business. It's a unique thing. So I think it's always good to get the story on how this very successful business came about. From the beginning, when did the idea spark to start a coffee business? Either one of you.
Yeah, I would say 13 years ago, both Rick and I had moved our families to Sandpoint around the same time. And I was already in the coffee industry. This is what I loved. I was developing my craft of roasting coffee. I worked for another roaster in Seattle. That was a startup company over there. Great experience. I've worked in specialty coffee in Hawaii when I was there for a few years as well. And both of those were very kind of high end specialty coffee companies. And I feel like that was a good place to learn. And we moved to Sandpoint mainly for the outdoors and the skiing and the recreation. Same reason a lot of people come here, and the community thought it would be a great place. Rick was in the real estate and real estate market at that time and doing his thing. And then, you know, almost by necessity, I got laid off shortly after moving here, taking a job with another company. And it was during the downturn of the economy in 2008. And we were skiing Schweitzer that winter. And we just moved our families here. And Rick's like, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to stay in specialty coffee. And this is what I love. And this is what I know. And I want to stay in Sandpoint. And Rick was, really the catalyst to kind of encourage that. He was also passionate about specialty coffee, and he said, let's put a business plan together and see if we can make this thing happen.
And so Rick, take it from there. So you're sitting on, I read on your website, you spent a lot of time on chair six.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the birth of, but so where did it go from there, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely. Chair six. And, Schweitzer itself is integral, of course, to our story. It was part of the reason we moved here. That was sort of, for me, I was living in Santa Barbara, had been doing the resort business and then resort real estate. But it was time to like settle down and raise a family. And Randy and I grew up as Air Force brats. And so we moved like every year to 2 years. I went to three high schools, and we wanted for our families. Both of us, I think, wanted to like plant some roots finally, and it was a very intentional move for me and for Mandy at the time, my wife at the time. And we had Trace we were pregnant with Trace, and yeah, it was very intentional. And the ski resort was a big part of why we moved here, and just the town, a community that seemed just a really healthy place to raise kids, and it focused on the outdoors and everything. And yeah, it happened on chair six. That was our chair, the old two-person chair. And we would just ride that over and over again. It happened to be, the economy had crashed right after we moved here. And so real estate wasn't really very much fun anymore. And we just skied a lot every day. We're riding chair six over and over again. And that's basically where it went. We just brainstormed it. And I was always so impressed with Randy's knowledge and passion for coffee. And I just kind of got into it through osmosis, and he really turned me on to fantastic coffee. And I knew that if we had a chance to do it, people would love his coffee and connect to his passion for it. And I just believed in it. So I was encouraging it.
And so, I'll just add, it was that belief that Rick had that really, he was out there getting, talking to businesses before we even had roasted our first batch of coffee, hyping me up as a coffee roaster And so, I mean, that was really cool. His trust in me and each other was what really, I think, you know, kind of sold the idea on some other local businesses to give us a chance. And those, you know, initial businesses were really key, to getting started. And, you know, Jim Lippi at Ivano's, I'll never forget him, was one of the first, same with, Tango Cafe, Barney and Carol. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're really grateful for those early, you know, businesses, giving us a shot.
Well, I wonder, so we know why coffee, we know kind of the gestation place, Chair Six, but any good business, and you had the support of the community, so it's kind of moving forward. But how did you develop something unique that I think Evans Brothers has and is somewhat known for? But how did you develop a vision for coffee specialty? What was your specialty? How did that evolve? What is it?
Well, that's a good question. I'll just say for me, I think it was that passion that I already had for coffee and the potential for great coffee. There's nothing more frustrating than getting a bad cup of coffee somewhere when I know the potential's there for a lot more. You know, it's a complex beverage, and I think a lot of people don't really realize that it's more complex than wine. There's over 800 flavor compounds found in coffee. There's varietals, origins, processing, all of this stuff that comes into play before we as the roaster even get that coffee. So, you know, and then there's potential for us to hopefully, you know, coax out some of those really good flavors that are inherent in the bean itself to put our stamp on the hard work that all these other people did as well. And you know, I think we had just a strong belief and passion in that and trying to convey the stories of the farmers. We really wanted to get close to, you know, the product and the producers. So we do a lot of, you know, traveling to meet the farmers that are growing our coffee and develop those relationships, and trying to just get that story across to our customers. And as far as like how it evolved, so much of it was kind of by accident and organically grew from an idea of selling wholesale specialty coffee locally to, well, we could probably put a little cafe in here, and not really sure if that was going to work. And then just, I think over time, just trying to make improvements and get better all the time. And I think there's a, you know, we managed to find some really great people that have been with us for a long time, and they're super passionate too. And I think it's really a pleasure coming into work every day to be with these people, and we get to geek out on coffee. I mean, what's more fun than that, you know? So yeah, it's great. Sorry, Rick. I don't know if I jumped in on what you were going to say, but.
No, you covered it really. I mean, the only thing I was just going to add up front was that we wanted to make sure we were approachable and we didn't come across like these snooty coffee guys that you got to drink it our way. Like, so we've always had both the dark roast and it was more common, what more people were used to, but we wanted to make as good of a dark roast as we possibly could. But we've always been really excited about the nuanced flavors of, like, you know, African coffees and Colombian coffees and you know, to do a pour over where it's crafted by hand, one drink, and just creating those sort of aha moments around a cup of coffee, making it a special experience. That's something that always, that from the beginning, I remember that's something that we were really excited about. And it's not just like your diner cup of coffee kind of thing that you just, you know, bottomless cup. I mean, it's like a special thing. And so that's what the care we've tried to take into every drink that's on our menu, everything that's on our menu.
Well, a few minutes ago, Randy, you mentioned coaxing out the flavors. And you also mentioned it, Rick, you know, to get the nuances. I'm guessing it's how you roast it, that it gets to that point where you're tasting chocolate and blueberries and cilantro or whatever. I'm not sure, or cumin.
So, yeah, I think the roasting has a big part of that for sure. Like I said, you know, the bean arrives to us with a lot of care and craft. I mean, we are literally looking for the top 1% of specialty coffee. I mean, specialty coffee in general is already, you know, the highest scoring coffees that are out there, but we're looking for the top percent of that. And so with roasting, with the craft of coffee roasting, it's every bean you get has different density, different moisture content, and potential to open up flavors. And so we create a profile, a recipe for each coffee. And that's usually a time and temperature graph and, you know, adjusting airflow, drum speed, things like that. And then what it comes down to is tasting a lot of coffee. And, you know, you might have an idea of how you want to roast a particular bean. Then you roast it and then you taste it. And I think we could get some more chocolate out of here. I think we could get some more florals out of here, and then going back to the roaster and adjusting that. And then hopefully being, you know, repeating that and being consistent, because consistency is definitely important for the customer as well. So, you know, that's where the fun comes in. That's where, you know, we, you know, the passion and just all of us here really kind of, we want all of our baristas to be that way as well. We're all trying to be a part of the quality control and giving each other feedback. You know, I think this coffee's tasting good, but I could be better with a little tweak here and there. And then as far as how the baristas, you know, in our cafes work, it's the same sort of passion and detail. I mean, we're weighing and timing every shot. We wipe the portafilter basket out in between each shot. We're just doing everything as precise as we can and bring coffee to a science, so that when we serve a cup of coffee, it's, you know, hopefully a really special experience for our customers.
I think people really like, if they're going to like their favorite coffee is the Chair Six. They want, sure. You just mentioned is consistency. And yep. That takes a lot of note-taking and yep. Staying on top of every element that you just mentioned. Yep. That's amazing. And getting the quality beans on a regular right. basis.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it's a big picture.
It is. It's a big picture. And that's, you know, and with blends, that's particularly important. You know, our Big Timber, our Chair Six. We have a new blend I think a lot of people will be excited about. That's called... Black Diamond, and it's our darkest roast yet. It's more of a traditional French roast. You know, people have been asking for that for a long time, and we're really happy with how it's come out. And so we're just kind of starting to introduce that into the market, and grocery stores are getting that coffee in now as well. But yeah, so repeatability is really important for blends specifically. And then what's also fun and you notice when you come in the cafe is we have a rotating line of really, really high end specialty coffees. These are the micro lots. These are the lots that are growing on somebody's farm that are separated because that coffee is tasting particularly good. And it may be three or four bags of a particular coffee growing on a, you know, maybe much larger farm. But that's really fun for us and keeps us excited. So we're constantly rotating new reserves, our reserve line of coffee and it's a lot of fun.
So who goes out and finds that specialty coffee on that little farm somewhere in Colombia or Kenya or
yeah.
Ceylon Mountain?
That's a great question. So we work with some importers who work with exporters, and through their relationships, we've been introduced to producers. We've gone to Colombia, Brazil, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Ethiopia. And what we're doing when we're there is often looking for that producer's best coffee. We're often hosted by, say, the exporter who knows the producers. And we're willing to pay a premium for good specialty coffee, and the producers need to make more money. And so I think the best way for that to happen is for roasters to get involved and to get to know the producers. And, you know, we have farmers now that we met through auctions in Colombia and Brazil that we've been buying their coffee year after year. and offering them a premium on top of what they would normally make for that coffee. So it feels good to be able to directly reward producers for their quality efforts. And yeah, hopefully,
they're your sourcers. So yeah, you need to take care of them. Moving on just a little bit, because we're going to run out of time, but there's so much. I could talk to you guys for hours, actually. When you talk about all the different ways, so Evans Brothers Coffee Roaster is where you make the coffee, but then you distribute it, and you distribute it to stores, you distribute it. How do you make money? I mean, you have your cafes, you have two new cafes. So tell us about the business of
Rick, you want to take that one, Rick?
Yeah. That's kind of how we, split it. I'm more of the business development and, managing the cafes out of town. And so we've got our three cafes, obviously, the Sandpoint and Coeur d'Alene, which we opened about 3 years ago. And then Spokane's our newest. We opened right before COVID. And then we're reopening and things are getting much better. And so we've got our three shops. That's about half our business. And the other half of our business is wholesale. And so we sell to Schweitzer Resort, the Kootenai Hospital, Big Blue. Those are a couple of our large accounts. We've got some really great accounts locally, like Randy mentioned. A lot of people have just been big supporters here. So a lot of the restaurants around here and also in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. So we ship to, Boise, and we've got some random accounts. We got a nice account in Florida and just different places. So the wholesale side of things is about half our business. Of course, we're in select kind of grocery stores in the area and focusing more on kind of the natural markets mostly. We do mail order as well. That's another part of our business, and that's kind of continued to grow. We're always looking for accounts. What excites us most is where we can really help somebody elevate their coffee program. And so we can, whatever they were doing before, or if somebody's starting out, like it's a cafe, a restaurant, we're full service. And so we're going to help them source the best equipment. We're going to dial in their equipment for them. We're going to train their team, and we're going to just be there for them, whatever they need, and really work with them hand in hand.
Wow. Okay. So I have 20 questions. This is rapid fire questions to both of you. Well, actually I only have two, but favorite brewing method, Randy Evans, not brewing, yeah, brewing method.
Chemex.
What's that?
Chemex is, they've been around since the 70s, but they've kind of experienced a resurgence in the last few years. But it's just a glass vessel with a filter, and you do a pour over the top. And the Chemex is nice because if you're making coffee for more than just yourself, for three or four people, it's perfect.
And you carry those on your website. I did just see those. It looked very interesting. Very reasonable. The glass is tempered, I suppose, and it's clean glass. It's not off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So Rick, same to you. Favorite brewing method?
I would say any pour over method, whether like a Kalita Wave or Chemex if it's for two people.
Okay. My son just taught me how to do a pour over.
Oh, nice.
You have to bloom the coffee, the grounds.
That's yes, key. Yes. You got to release the CO2. Yep.
And it tastes so much better. Okay. So another quick question is, any regrets in starting a business in 2009 with your brother? Rick, you can go first.
If you would have asked me in 2010 or 11, I might have said yes. But we hung in there. We got through the tough times. And now I'm grateful to have a business that we have that is a big part of the community. I have a lot of gratitude for what we do and what we've created.
And same to you, Randy.
Likewise. I think those first couple of years were really tough. We were eating a lot of Top Ramen and spaghetti. But no, I'm super grateful. I couldn't do this without the help of my brother. There's definitely been some bumps and some stressful times, but overall, he's my best friend and I still love him. Yep.
Love you too, Randy.
Oh, that's so sweet, you guys. Well, I think you're very fortunate. I'm talking with Rick and Randy Evans, brother owners of a local coffee roasting business called Evans Brothers Coffee. And also, I just want to let you guys know, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. Let's do this again. I think the subject of coffee, I'm just getting into coffee now, just so you know.
Oh, cool.
It makes me happy when I'm doing it.
Good.
When I'm down, I just drink coffee. but I want to thank Evans Brothers for being a very vital part of KRFY's underwriting team. We couldn't do it without you to keep KRFY strong and on the air in North Idaho and beyond. We sincerely appreciate our business underwriters, and that's you guys. So thanks for talking with me today, and thanks. For your support for commercial free community radio, right?
Of course. Thank you, Susie. Appreciate all the hard work you do and important work for our community there at KRFY. Thank you.
Thank you.